And you live in Othello, speaking of big buildings.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
The station.
And I struggled... I continue occasionally to struggle with living there and to and being part of the system, the gentrification. I think that the Othello building is actually a fairly good space. It seems like a lot of the residents there are coming from a huge diversity of economic backgrounds. And so it's not like going into one of the buildings on in the Central District or in Capitol Hill, the new buildings.
Or this one here that we're sitting in.
I don't even know who lives here, so I can't comment on that. But yeah. I imagine that there's some subsidized housing and some...
MFTE, multifamily tax exemption.
Yeah. Okay, so it exists on it exists in some way here, but it probably is mostly people that make money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luxury apartments.
Yeah.
This one bedroom, if it weren't for MFTE, would go for $1,900 a month.
Wow. So that's like 25 or 30% higher than the Othello building. Of course, the Othello building is right next to Assembly 118, if I'm remembering that correctly, which is the new double building complex that is opening up right across the street, which I have done some investigations on and will cost more than the Othello building. And if you go to their website, you'll notice a lot of their photography that advertises their building and advertises Seattle's newest neighborhood, South Seattle.
Is the station?
No, is Assembly 118, the new building. Right. And it uses photos from Georgetown and Columbia City. It's almost like cheesy stock photography. Like if I just walked down the street right now and took a few pictures with my cell phone that, you know, created this kind of, it's cool look. I could do that in 5 minutes. And that's what this Assembly building did. But now they're like, this is probably the closest you can get to, you know, refreshing a neighborhood is by not recognizing anything that exists there, including photos of itself, which is really weird. It's this really disembodied kind of,
Westworld creepiness.
And
what do you love about this neighborhood? I mean, okay, I get that you are not, you know, you're ambivalent about being a gentrifier for this neighborhood, but tell me the things that about the neighborhood that you love.
There's a lot, and I would say that one of the things I really like about this neighborhood, and I have always really liked about this neighborhood, is the space, how people use space here. When I moved here, it was a blind move. So I'd never been to Seattle. I'd never looked at pictures of Columbia City. I saw it on Google Maps and I was like, oh, that looks like a nice place. There's hills and lots of trees and that sort of stuff. But then actually living here and being able to see how people interact with the parks, you know, just going over to Genesee Park and seeing how people move through that to get to the lake. You can literally go through green space all the way from the center of this neighborhood to the lake, which is amazing. And then, of course, you can wrap yourself along Lake Washington Boulevard, go over to Seward Park and, you know, walk back or bike back or whatever. That kind of experience has been really fulfilling. Of course, how that changes and how that develops as more people move in this neighborhood and it becomes denser will be really interesting to see. But there has been this kind of, there's been a lack of density and a kind of spaciness to this area that I've really, really enjoyed. In addition, I mean, I already mentioned the presence of neighborliness. You know, the Columbia City Facebook group, of course, is notorious, and lots of people have their own perspective on that community. But just being able to attend local events, being able to host local events, which I've done on numerous occasions, with ease, that bring a kind of reinforcement to an already present awareness of the neighborhood's identity is just really amazing.
But you're talking about Columbia City and you live in Othello. So what is it about Othello that you love? That ought to be two link stops to the south, but it's only one because it's the biggest space in the system.
Exactly. Yeah.
There will be one at Graham probably by 2030. But
let's see if we can all afford to live here.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
What do I like about Othello? So, A, I like that there was a studio apartment that was available. I'd never lived alone in the United States because I lived alone abroad, and I loved that experience. And I wanted, maybe it was the librarian in me that really wanted a monk-like meditative chamber and a space where I could just be alone. And which would, you know, extend itself to my practices, my spiritual practices, my mindfulness practices in ways that I wasn't able to quite get while living with other people. And so that was really the biggest reason for moving there, was the availability. But since living there, there are no Western bars in the entire neighborhood.
Zero Western bars.
The bars that exist, which, you know, are of course bars, they serve alcohol. But they're existing in contexts of restaurants. So you have the bars that are in some of the African restaurants. You have beer that's served at some of the Vietnamese and Chinese restaurants. But there's no... It's almost like the trendiness does not exist there yet.
So Qingdao and palm wine? Is that what you're drinking now?
Not quite. I don't really drink anything at the moment. But I like that. I like that otherness that I can go experience there. Of course, that'll change, and eventually there's going to be one new thing, and then two new things, and then three new things, and then it might be that area ends up looking like all the other areas. But I feel like I just don't, when I'm living there, I don't expect what I expect of other neighborhoods, and therefore it has a very unique feel to it. Obviously, the diversity of people that are there is quite nice, too. It's far more diverse than any of the other neighborhoods I've ever lived in Seattle, including Columbia City, including Georgetown, including the Rainier Valley, other parts of the Rainier Valley, and Hillman City, too.
Vietnamese, Somali, Mexican, Cambodian, what are some of the ethnicities?
I mean, you named a lot of them right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lao, Thai. Japanese. There's like a bunch of different ethnicities and races that are present there.
Talk to us about your writing practice. You have been recently, the Page Boy magazine party is any indication, or the art party that Thomas Walton, who publishes Page Boy, is any indication, you're working on the use of repetition to create kind of a sound poetry type thing. I guess that's an awkward way of explaining what I experienced of your performance, but talk to us about that and what you're working on.
Great questions. I will preface this by saying that I continue to explore and experiment, and there is no set agenda for what I'm working on, unlike so many other writers and artists who are project-based here in this city and elsewhere. My work is typically not project-based. It continues to be, you know, individual pieces are written and created out of a huge degree of influences that I feel like I have no control over. So that piece that you're referring to came out of binge listening to Sun Ra and Albert Eiler, you know, on i5, and what kind of manifestations of that music could come out of writing and just even thinking about writing. And so the repetitive nature in that goes back to tune and melody, and then of course harmony, and in the case of Sun Ra, this greater, you know, cosmos level ethereality that really, really just kind of engages me and allows me to be present as the artist and as the performer. Whereas I think if you had asked me what I enjoyed most about the performance works that I was doing 5 years ago, it would have been the release of myself from the performance. So it's almost like things have been inverted, at least from the creative act, at least from this idea of going down and putting things on paper before allowing my soul to escape, now bringing the soul back in, bringing the soul and the environment into myself and harnessing its energy. And that ends up becoming a really tricky practice because there is so much out there. It's like going back to the Dadaists and the collage, the original collage. You're allowing so many doors to be opened at once, with this idea that the magic that will arise, or the output that is beautiful, is going to be potentially influenced by, you know, tens or dozens or you know, hundreds of different influences. Mm-hmm. And it continues to be a channel-based practice. It continues to be rooted in some of the work that Spicer did, in a lot of the work that different performers that I've enjoyed, you know, listening to and seeing do. This kind of John Cagean level of environmental awareness of what's going on in the immediate environment ends up influencing my work significantly.
Are there any YouTube videos of what you've been doing recently that we can put as links to people so they can get some idea? Or
as of this very moment, this interview, I will be getting the recording of the last performance tonight. And so I can, I'll post it.
And you'll post it, and it'll be on YouTube, and we can.
Yep.
And you can also send us links to the Albert Eiler and Sun Ra stuff you've been listening to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be good. So we can put those in to the post as widgets.